Invite you to rise. The grace and peace of Christ Jesus, our risen and ascended Savior, abide with you all. Amen. Our text today is recorded in the book of Ephesians in the first chapter, verses 15 to 23. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So far the text. In the name of our glorified Savior, dear friends, the disciples returned to Jerusalem with great joy. So the evangelist Luke informs us in his spirit-inspired account of Jesus' ascension. It's true that the disciples did not experience all the joy they might have had and that they should have had. They did not possess a full understanding of the significance of Jesus' ascension yet. They entertained strange notions also about the nature of Jesus' kingly reign and would still be in the dark about that to some degree until Pentecost happened 10 days later. But despite these faith deficiencies, Luke does tell us that they worshiped Jesus and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. What a truly wonderful event Christ's ascension to heaven must be if even a partial understanding of its meaning caused his followers' hearts to brim over with happiness. So this morning we want to spend a few moments contemplating the meaning of this event for our lives today as Christians. I think we probably all have a pretty good understanding of the meaning of Jesus' suffering for us on the cross, as being crucified for our sins, dead, buried, and rising from the grave on Easter morning. But I think our understanding could probably be sharpened up a bit in regard to the richness of the meaning of Jesus' ascension. And so we pray the Lord may so bless us as we consider our text from Ephesians under the theme as noted, "Praise the Lord, our risen Savior has ascended to the Father's right hand." Let's begin by being reminded of what the Bible is talking about when it says Jesus ascended to God's right hand. Since God is a spirit and possesses no flesh and bone body as we do, he doesn't have a right hand physically. So what does Jesus sitting at God's right hand mean? Well, the Lord's talking to us, as he does in lots of scriptures, in picture language, using words that we earthbound humans can relate to. Like when the Bible in the Psalms talks about God having eyes. Psalm 11, the Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold the sons of men. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. He's just communicating to us. He's aware of all things that happen in our world and in each one of our lives individually. When Scripture says, out of the depths I've cried to you, O Lord, Psalm 130, Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. He is assuring us that he is listening to us as often as we pray to him. And when it says, Deuteronomy chapter 8, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord, it's saying the Lord is communicating to us that he has the ability to communicate with us as he does through the pages of Holy Scripture, and as he is doing again this morning. And when the Bible talks about God having hands and arms, it's teaching us that he does things. He's actively accomplishing things according to his will, as when he rescued his people Israel from Egyptian slavery with a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. That's also in Deuteronomy. And when Paul in our text writes about how God exerted great power in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, that's not referring to a localized spot far, far away in heaven, distant from earth, but the Lord is assuring us that Jesus, our brother in the flesh, true man and true God, is actively serving us Christians every day, even as he served us while he was here below. And in fact, as Paul says here, he's filling everything in every way. He's present everywhere with his believers in a special way, according to his promise, and with you always, even to the end of the age. And so, yes, Jesus is with us this morning here in church, serving us actively through his word and love. According to his promise, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there in their midst. He is right now with our brothers and sisters in Christ as Prince of Peace in Loveland and the people of Redeemer Cheyenne, all churches where his gospel word is being proclaimed. And of course, not only on a Sunday morning, but 24/7 when we're at home, at work, while traveling, wherever we are, when we offer the prayer before eating, come Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let these gifts to us be blessed. He's with us there to bless us through the food, to nourish our bodies through the food that he gives us. All these things, friends, we're assured of because Jesus ascended into heaven and he is seated at God the Father's right hand. Secondly, let's be reminded that Jesus sitting at God's right hand means that he's in charge everywhere. We read in verses 20 to 22 of our text that God the Father exerted his power in Christ when he seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given. Not only in the present age, but the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet. Can you think of a more emphatic way of the Lord teaching and assuring us that Jesus is in control of all things that go on in the world? Back in Bible times, when a king would wage war against an enemy king that was threatening their territory and threatening harm to his citizens, when he defeated that enemy king in battle, he would compel him to bow down on the ground in front of him, and he'd take his foot and put it on top of his neck in a public demonstration, in a public way before all, that he's under my power and can't threaten me or you anymore. So when the Bible says Jesus ascended to the Father's right hand, the position of absolute authority and put his enemies under his feet. Talking about the enemy's sin, death, and Satan, he's telling us, he's assuring us, those enemies have been defeated and rendered harmless to us. It's true, isn't it? The devil like seemed to have won the victory over Jesus on Good Friday when the Lord's body lay lifeless in the grave. He's probably celebrating his seeming victory, thinking he'd thwarted God's Son from accomplishing his Savior mission. Mankind is now under my power to do with as I will and bring down to ruin and hell. But no, the devil's victory was a mirage. Because when Jesus came out of the grave on Easter morning, it's like he was pounding the final nail into the devil's coffin, taking death's power away. And so death has become for us who trust Christ a gateway into paradise. As Jesus said about his friend Lazarus, remember that story? Who died, Lazarus of Bethany, he's only sleeping, I must go and wake him up. And he did, raised him from the grave. So it shall be for every one of us, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the dead will be raised from their sleep of death, imperishable and gloriously changed. And when this perishable is clothed with the imperishable, and this mortal puts on immortality, then the saying is written, that is written, will come true. Death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this also, of course, had been foretold hundreds of years before, about 1,000 years before Christ, in the book of Psalms, where King David had written in Psalm 110, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. God was foretelling already then that Jesus was going to wield supreme power, exercising total control over his enemies. They can do nothing that he does not allow, and he uses them for his holy purposes. God has highly exalted Jesus and given him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that finally every tongue should confess, as we know will be one day, that Jesus is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. Finally, friends, let's consider to our great joy that not only does Jesus sitting at God's right hand mean that he's present everywhere, serving us in love, and that he's in control of all things in heaven and in earth everywhere, but also that he's ruling everything for our benefit, his dear believers. Paul writes, verse 22, God placed all things under Christ's feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. What's the church? It's the fellowship of believers. It's the group of all those who have accepted Christ as their Savior, who know that their sins are forgiven because of what Jesus accomplished for them through faith. As members of Christ's church, we know and believe that the Savior who died for us in love on the cross was willing to suffer shame and death to pay for our sins, to pay the debt that we owed our God and take the punishment we had coming, is now the supreme ruler over all things in heaven and on earth, and that he will make and does make all things to work together for our ultimate good. And this despite what our senses often tell us. When we witness bad things happening in our world, the wickedness of our society, people trampling on the Lord's commandments with impunity, celebrating sinful behavior, calling the things God calls evil good and the things he calls good evil. When Christians are made to suffer for their beliefs, for their stand on the scriptures, and when they are called upon by the Lord to bear painful crosses, trials. It's difficult, isn't it, sometimes, to believe Christ is in charge and that he's ruling everything for our ultimate good. But let's remember then, what's the Bible's definition for faith? Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. Just because we do not have tangible evidence that the Lord is in charge does not mean that it is not true. It just means that we must believe all the more firmly. Our God assures us that our Savior, our brother, our Redeemer, Christ, the Lord, is over all things and he is ruling everything for our eternal benefit. As Jesus told Thomas the week after Easter, remember Thomas who doubted at first, Jesus really isn't alive, I can't accept that, what you're telling me. Jesus said, blessed are those, Thomas, who have not seen and yet have believed. And then the evangelist John goes on in the next verses of his gospel. Truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So, friends, let that be your comfort, your hope, and your peace. Rejoice to know and praise the Lord that when everything seems to be spiraling out of control in the world and sometimes in our own lives, things going wrong, that Jesus is in fact ruling everything for our eternal benefit. And one day, it's going to become evident. It's as certain as the fact that 40 days after rising from the dead, he ascended to God the Father's right hand. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Uphold with your spirit free.